Hello, my name is William Cueto, and welcome to Builders of Hope, a show about young Catholic professionals who are living out their faith in all aspects of their lives, their family lives, their social lives, and their careers. Growing in the spiritual life is not just for priests and nuns. It's for all of us, as you will see through the lives of our guests who are striving to live out their faith and build a better world. Brian Finian is a 37-year-old corporate executive who comes to us from Northern Virginia. He will discuss the challenges he faces in running a company in today's corporate world. Brian will also speak to us about our capitalistic system and the roles and responsibilities companies have within the system.
I had the very good fortune of working with a couple of people that the three of us eventually started a company, and it was really probably much easier to do with a couple of other individuals than to do on my own, though I was interested either way in doing something that that I'd be held ultimately responsible for.
And when did you start the company?
We actually started it in the late 80s.
And what is it that you started with? Is it the same company today as far as what it sells or what it produces?
Well, it's gone through quite a metamorphosis in the last 10 years or so. Primarily, our services, we provide technology and inspection services to large corporations around the country. And people are being relocated from their current location by large corporations. We're the company that's asked to come in and help facilitate that process.
So it's a national company?
Yes, it is.
And where are your main offices?
Well, actually, we have our primary offices in the Northern Virginia area, just outside of Fairfax County.
Great. And about how many employees do you have?
Boy, that's a good question. We actually have, I think, about 325. It changes pretty drastically. We've been growing quite a bit over the last couple of years, and we add field employees pretty frequently as well. So I think it's about 325 as of the last month or so.
So it's a pretty good-sized company.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's obviously growing, so that's very good.
Excellent. Now, the company is engaged in these inspection services for different corporations.
What are
your main clients?
Primarily, it are our clients are the large Fortune 500 companies, folks like IBM, AT&T, Microsoft, Mobile, Exxon Corp, those sort of companies. When they're being when they're transferring employees or being relocated from one area of the country to another, we're asked to come in and facilitate the appraisal and inspection process. And we do that electronically through some of the technology that we've developed over the last 5 or 6 years.
So as a co-founder, you've taken it, along with the other co-founders, from nothing to being involved with all these big-named clients.
Well, yeah, I say we've taken it, but honestly, I believe in giving credit where credit is due. I think our Lord's had a lot to do with our success.
And so he's brought you, I guess working through you, to take you through your achievements.
Well, I think I've always been a firm believer that hard work is the key to any success. I think if you're willing to put your shoulder to the wheel and really exert energy in any direction, if you can get several people doing that at one time, there's really not too many things that you can't do. I think our success is largely because of the fact that we've worked hard, but also because we've gotten a lot of breaks along the way. And I don't think those breaks are accidents. I think those breaks are the fact that we've tried to be faithful to our faith, and that we've also tried to take care of others in the process.
And what's the purpose of the corporation?
Well, actually, the purpose of the corporation is not dissimilar to other corporations. Our purpose is to stay in business. Our
Exactly.
purpose is to make money. It's to provide a quality service, to be the best in the business. What's known in most circles in corporations is kind of being the best of the best. That's really our desire. If we do that, and if we're successful at providing those services to our clients, they'll be happy with our services, and they'll come back for additional work.
So you believe that the corporation provides value to society?
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in the capitalistic system here in this country. I think it creates opportunities for many, many people, and I think if it's not abused by the leadership of those corporations, it could be a very, very good opportunity, a stepping stone opportunity for many people.
Now, you said some very important things there. You said that it can be used in a certain way, that sometimes that key leaders do not use corporations maybe in the proper way.
Well, I think that's true. Like all of us, I think we are all tempted at one time or another to do things outside perhaps what we know to be morally correct. I can tell you there's no shortage of temptation in running a company because there's a lot of gray area that I think if you're not careful, you can certainly find yourself on the other side of the line. But I believe very strongly that if you work hard to maintain ethics, and if you try to be a good character and a good example for others, these sort of things take care of themselves.
I think there's a misconception out there. These corporations, in order to take them there, you really can't be a person of faith. You know, that they're inconsistent. In order to be successful, you have to cut corners. You have to be unethical. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I completely disagree with that because I think that to be successful, I really believe you need a couple of things. The first and foremost, I think what you need is you need a good work ethic. You need to be somebody who's willing to, as I said before, put your shoulder to the wheel. It's not limited to that, though. You need breaks. You need opportunities. And I think if you comport yourself in the company with honesty and with integrity, you get some of those opportunities just because the word gets out that you're a company that deals properly, professionally, and in ways that they should regarding moral and ethical issues.
And you mentioned earlier that you believe corporations can be used for good and for bad. And
that's
some
right.
of these pros and cons are obvious. Can you go into a little of how you think corporations are being misused in today's society?
Well, it depends on the corporation. I think a lot of corporations do a lot of good, and I think that's very, very positive. I think some corporations are tempted more than others, and some really honestly are we live in an environment in the corporations where you're only as good as your last quarter and only as good as your future quarters, you anticipate your future quarters to be. So I think there's a lot of temptations, especially for public companies, for example, to maybe do some things accounting-wise that may not be completely ethical or may not be appropriate. But the temptation is there, and I think corporations may fall into that occasionally. As far as the good they can do, though, I think from the level of working with the community, specific programs designed to help lesser advantaged individuals or groups, I think they can have a profound impact. Things like Special Olympics, and just there's a whole variety of things that I think our company's been asked to participate in, and it's a great way actually to build camaraderie within the company between individuals that otherwise may not get a chance to spend too much time together even though they work together.
So one of the things in a corporation that can be used to put forth good in society is the fact that it has the economic means to do a lot of things.
Absolutely. I think the critical thing, as I mentioned earlier, companies are in business to make money. That's a reality, and there's nothing, I'm not ashamed of that fact. In fact, I think that's the part of capitalism that works the best, is that we're out there trying to create opportunities to get larger and to create more opportunities for the company and for individuals within the company. So I make no apology for that.
Right.
I just think that companies need to recognize their responsibility in doing that.
Now, where does that process come into error? Where does it go to an extent that it becomes a problem? And things sort of fall into a reversal of order.
Well, I think there's always a temptation to do things that may not be as good for individuals and for society as possible. Certain media has pretty traumatic influence on how we think as a society. It seems to be a very anti-religious
message
that's out really out there in corporations, almost as if everything has to be politically correct, to the point where you're not allowed to have the freedom to voice your opinion about things that you feel are the difference between right and wrong. So I think the temptation for all corporations is to give in to supporting things that may be not inclined to producing positive things for society.
So even to the extent of producing things to the detriment of moral values.
Sure.
To the detriment of the person.
Absolutely.
To, you know, selling things that may not be safe. You know, as we've seen in recent days, there's a lot of corporations out there that are being sued left and right because they're finding out the corporations made an economic decision. And although there was going to be harm produced in society, it was more cost effective not to reveal that information and to continue to sell the product, for instance.
That's right.
And even immoral messages or impregnating society with a culture that's just not consistent with development or value or consistent with supporting the dignity of the human person. So you find that sometimes.
I absolutely find it. And I think, again, the corporations, they reach crossroads where they have to make decisions. And sometimes the decisions that are moral decisions may cost companies economically. And even though there's a temptation to give in to those sort of decisions, I have found historically, just in my experience, that to the extent that you don't give in to those decisions, there's actually other ways in which you benefit.
Such as how? Because you did mention something like that earlier, which is very interesting.
Well, I think a couple of things occur to me. One is to the extent that you try as a company to benefit employees specifically, and to the extent that you as a company try to help society, employees see that. And employees are companies. And the reality is, a company is really only as successful as the employees in which it employs. So my experience has been that you can engender great loyalty with individual employees, with groups of people, because they feel as if they're working for a company that that has integrity, that has some character, and that that wants to do the right thing.
So it's not that the person is just a piece of production or just some instrument that is used in order to build the corporation. Yes, they're there to build the corporation and to work, but not to the extent of losing the dignity of that person.
That's
where
right.
The dollar or, you know, the purpose becomes more important than individuals.
That's right.
Now, something that's very important, I think, to bring out is that the church speaks to this very issue, the issue of work, the issue of how to use a corporation, the issue of value in the place of the labor force. And that document that has existed for quite a while is called Laborum Exercens. And I have a copy of it here, and I just wanted to show it on the screen because I think anyone working in the world should read this document who wants to get an understanding of the values that the church brings forth, the Catholic principles, and how to integrate them into your day-to-day work life.
Well, I think many corporations, as you said, do look toward individuals as pawns in their great chess game. And the reality is, while everyone has to contribute, and that is what makes a company successful, it doesn't have to be thought, people don't have to be considered in that way. I think people can be considered for their individual achievements, and collectively, when you put all of those together, you can have a very successful operation and a very successful company.
So that's what you've seen in your experience so far.
That's right.
Now, one of the things you mentioned earlier is that you believe that an individual could clearly continue to live out their faith and be successful in the corporate setting.
Well, I think, in my opinion, there's no doubt about that. I strive very hard to live my faith without wearing it out on my sleeve for everyone to know. For example, I think it's much better for me to be as good an example as I can without specifically proselytizing or doing apostolate with people where I'm preaching to them. They have no interest in that, nor do I. I think the best example that any company can give, or anyone in a company can give, is through their good example. Through their work and good work ethic. We have very, very many individuals in our company who I'm very proud to say are really uphold that that approach.
And in balancing out, you know, the corporate world, the challenges, the time that it's begging of you, you know, day in and day out, and the time that's needed to put into your other activities and your family life in order to maintain a spiritual life, like we were speaking about before,
how do you balance that and how do you prioritize all that and then integrate them together?
Well, I think it takes discipline. It's not particularly easy to do. There's a lot of activities that can take up hours of your day. And what I have found personally is that daily attendance at Mass is a critical for me. I feel as if, many years ago I went because I just felt attracted to go to Mass. I felt as if I were being invited to go on a daily basis. That was something that I took. I was very honored by that. But in the last few years, I've kind of discovered that it's critical to my happiness. If I'm able to get to Mass every day, I'm able to remain pretty calm. I feel like I can make better decisions because I am approaching things in the light of how our Lord might want me to do something as opposed to how I might want to do it. So I think it requires discipline to live your faith and to do the things to be successful in business, but also to keep your spiritual life active. But I think they're both, they're not mutually exclusive. I believe they're both very attainable at the same time.
I wanted to ask you about the issue of religion in the workplace, which is a hot issue in today's corporate culture.
Yes, it is.
What do you think about that whole issue?
There's no pressure, for example, from the corporation to be anything other than what a person is. However, we believe that to the extent that we're good examples to those individuals, perhaps they might see that Christianity is something worth embracing.
And how has that philosophy played out?
Well, I think one of the things that we try to do, and I think we've been moderately successful doing this, is create an environment where people feel that they have the freedom to express their views, to talk to their friends who work inside the company. And we try to spend time together outside of the workplace. We've had softball teams in the past, or flag football teams, or we've had company picnics. We've gone to a couple of professional baseball games in blocks of 200 people. So there's ways, I think, for the company to build camaraderie outside of the company and not to do it really under any auspices of religion, but really more just under the opportunity to get to know individuals better in a non-work environment.
So the good that you said a corporation can bring before not only plays out outside the corporation, but within it. You're talking about a community, and where these individuals that work for your company all have families behind them and doing things together. You know, what have you found as far as a familial environment inside your company?
Well, one of the interesting things about our company, we've got several people who have been with us for many, many years. We've been able to retain a lot of the management, supervisory, and directorship level employees for very many years. What that's allowed us to do is, over time, as people come into the organization, they are working for those individuals. Many of those individuals have families where they have children. They try to be, I think, good examples to the people that report into them, the people that work for them, of exactly what fathers and mothers should be in our society. They try to live out their faith. As I said, many of them are non-Catholic, many of them are non-Christian, but I think for the most part, we work in an environment of professional respect, and to the extent that you're able to allow for that to the extent that you allow for the company to have that sort of an environment, I think it's very positive.
It's a very powerful thing when you have both things going on in your corporation, where you have this internal, you know, positive element that you're talking about, and then taking this group out to do community things and reaching out to the world around you is something that really all corporations should be doing because of the ability that they have to do so much good, use the right way. A lot of corporations, maybe more corporations, should be engaging in this kind of endeavor, don't you think?
I absolutely think that. And actually, it's hard for me to stake the claim that our company has been ultimately very successful doing that. We've tried to do some of those programs, but I think to the extent that corporations can do it more frequently, it is an opportunity to give back to the community.
That's excellent. Now, you mentioned earlier an organization called Opus Dei, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that organization.
Well, it's it's a pretty well misunderstood organization across this country and many others. Essentially, it was founded by a Catholic priest back in the late 1920s. The concept is pretty simple. It's sanctification of daily work. It's basically taking the work that you perform every day, and on a weekly basis, for many of us, that's 40, 45, 50, 55 hours a week, and trying to sanctify that, trying to offer that to God, no differently than we would offering a small sacrifice or offering prayer or saying a rosary. It's really the same concept. You take what God has given you, your day-to-day circumstances, and you try to give it back to Him.
And it's not just your work. It's everything in your life.
It's everything. The concept, though, of Opus Dei, it's Latin for the work of God. The concept is you live your life not in parts, but you live your life as a whole. So your approach to life is not different at work than it is in your personal life, and it is than it would be in your family life.
So, for instance, even in your social life, or in the sports, you know, you're engaged in a lot of different sports activities.
Sure, yeah.
Those things, too, you're saying, are part of that.
Well, actually, it's a great venue. Sports, I have found, is a great venue for getting to know people better. Part of our life as Christians, whether you're Catholic, Christian, or whatever you are, is a universal call to helping others. And I think part of helping others is getting to know them. And my experience has been, because there's not too many sports that I don't enjoy doing, my experience has been that you'll have an opportunity to get to know people, whether you're playing basketball or playing tennis or volleyball or swimming or hiking or whatnot. You'll get an opportunity to get to know individuals. And at some point, during the next few years, you can become very good friends with those individuals through sports. And then at one time or another, you may begin conversations with them about, you know, what's going on in their life and what sort of things are important to them, and be able to use examples from your own that might help them.
I see. And through this organization, you also mentioned that you get some kind of direction.
Well, actually, I do have a spiritual director. It's a priest that I see every couple of weeks, and he's been very, very instrumental in my approach to life and trying to keep the balance between work and personal things and social things. And it's been very, very, very useful.
And this spiritual director helps you with, again, the different aspects?
He does. I think the primary focus that we all have in as Christians is, how do we get to heaven? Ultimately, what's our, what do we need to do? Obviously, Jesus did it for us, but what do we need to do to live our lives in a way that would be according to how He would expect from us? And spiritual direction, in my estimation, is a very important component of that. And so when you're trying to validate an approach to life, the way you want to live certain things, it's good to bounce it off somebody who you have faith in that can assist you.
That's very powerful stuff.
Yeah, it's very useful, honestly. It's very, I wouldn't trade it in for anything. It's very helpful for me.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on Builders of Hope. If you'd like to contact today's guest or myself, email us at our website at buildersofhope.com. We invite you to join us next week when our guest will be Michael McFadden. Michael offers us the perspective of a young recent college graduate in the beginning stages of his career. Michael will also talk to us about what a young man should look for in a future wife, and he will share with us why he thinks those same standards should apply to dating as well.